This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm Mike Luoma. I'm recording this early. I usually do stuff on Saturdays. This is Friday, but it's New Book Day. So I'm celebrating and I'm getting this out now, tonight. The Star Seeds of Earth, my brand new book, is out today, Friday, May 22nd. The ebooks are everywhere. Amazon, Apple, Kobo, Barnes & Noble. Everywhere fine ebooks are sold. Audiobooks are currently available at Google Play and Kobo. Audible's a little behind. They'll be along a little bit later. They bring along Apple audiobooks and Amazon with them. Paperbacks have been slightly delayed. I think we'll see the paperback at Amazon this weekend. But my other partner, the printer Lulu, yikes. I did an expedited process with them to try to get my book here so I could okay the proof and get it out on time. Their site broke down, basically. It hasn't worked. And nobody's gotten back to me. It's been over a week and a half. I still have not heard back from anybody personally, though I did get a second automated message from them. Yikes. Just seems awful foolhardy to do a complete site redesign in the middle of a pandemic crisis. And then the site doesn't work. So, I don't know what's happening with that. When I know more, I'll share that info with you. Drive-Thru Fiction has the ebook. The paperback from there had issues. That was my fault. The proof failed. I may try again, but their color systems for their covers don't like my software. They're not entirely compatible. So, but anyway, with all that happening, a few days ago, I uploaded my book files to Amazon. I usually don't go directly through them to do anything, but I figured at least that will make them available somehow, because I didn't know what was happening with Lulu. They've become unreliable, which is horrible. Now, according to Amazon, they should be available tomorrow, because it's a 72-hour window, and I got them up there, I think it was Tuesday night, midnight, or early Wednesday. So, if that holds true, sometime tomorrow, Saturday, we should have the paperbacks. So that's what's happening with the book. Let's see what's happening with the book, with the story, the actual story. It is The Starseeds of Earth, another adventure of Alibi Jones. He was just meeting with people he trusted to form a command staff to help govern the growing hornet's nest. Their little base has a lot more people coming in. It's growing, so he's got to put, you know, kind of a command staff in place. Now, the newest members of the Inner Circle, the head of security, Grizzly Yakamoto, and head of maintenance and physical plant, Gardner Davison, they've just left the meeting. That was the end of the last chapter. But those remaining are some of Alibi's closest friends and acquaintances, and they're about to learn a little bit more about what Alibi has planned. In Chapter 27 of The Star Seeds of Earth, that's coming up. We also have the short Chapter 28, where we see what Finder is up to, and the kind of medium-length Chapter 29, when Alibi hopes to finally head out to meet the secta known as the Heretic and get himself a starseed, hopefully. That's all coming up on this episode. That's Chapters 27, 28, and 29 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of book news. Of course, the book is out. Go to glowinthedarkradio.com for all the details you need, for the links and everything. Want to remind you as well that Virtual Balticon is underway. I'm going to be on 4 panels this weekend, and you can go and watch them for free. Just go to balticon.org and click on the top where it says programming and look for the schedules. So tomorrow, Saturday at 4 p.m., I'm on an incredible panel with Dave Robeson, Starla Hutchton, Mel Hayden, and John Walker moderating. It is an all-star cast for Why the Storyteller Needs a Narrator. And that'll be at 4 p.m. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Cold Reads. I'll be doing that along with Starla and Dave again. And Jelaine Hughes and Spence is moderating and doling out the Cold Reads. That'll be fun. Sunday morning, I'll be back in action, 10 a.m., pretty early, on Beta Reading Propositions. What are you in for? And Starla Hutchton's part of that. Morgan Hazelwood. Keith Hughes, it turns out, is going to be moderating, and he was one of the beta readers for Star Seeds of Earth. So that was a pretty cool coincidence. Ted Weber's on that one as well. And then Sunday at noon, What's This About a Social Media Presence? Morgan is the moderator, and I'll be on there with Joshua Bilmes and Jamila Brinkley and Tim Morris. So those are the 4 panels I'm going to be on for Virtual Balticon this weekend. Again, just go to balticon.org and check out programming for the schedules. In other book news, you can get all of my novels and short story collections, the ebooks, for free at Smashwords in all ebook formats. Comixology has all of my number one issues for over 50% off, which means most of them are like 49 cents. Those number one issues. And I've just made the Vatican Assassin and Alibi Jones audiobooks free. You can get them free at Google Play and at Kobo. Find out more about all of those things that are going on at glowinthedarkradio.com. And it's new book day. The Star Seeds of Earth is out today. We're about to get into Chapter 27 of The Star Seeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Potcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything, from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Now here's Chapter 27 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. End recording, Alibi said. You were recording, Hector said. For posterity, Alibi said. The founding of the Hornet's Nest Company, or something like that. And you're turning it off, Emily said.
Yep, Alibi said. That looked pretty good, didn't it?
You mean that was not for real?
Kid asked, confused.
No, Alibi said. I mean, yes, it was for real.
He paused. He looked Kit directly in the eyes. We just need to do more.
More?
Kit asked. Alibi looked over at Bob Bond, then back to Kit.
Bob gets it, Alibi said. We're really starting our own government.
Thank you for the suggestion on advising consent, by the way, Bob.
You're welcome, Bob said. Kind of figured this is what we were doing.
I don't want this part recorded, Alibi said. And Davison and Grizz don't need to know, or at least not yet. So we're doing this, Hector said. We're really pulling away from the Solar Alliance. I'd say they pulled away from us, Alibi said. But yeah, not that we'll admit at first. Publicly, we will maintain this corporate status. You know, I guess we should call it the Hornet's Nest Company, like they've done for other colonies. Sounds legit, Hector said. Bob, this impacts you the most at first, Alibi said. Why me? Because we need two different sets of ship's bays, Emily said, figuring out where Alibi was going. Civilian and military. He raised an eyebrow as he looked her way. Precisely, Alibi said. Wow, she's smart. Makes sense, Bob said. You got any more secrets you need to lay on us? Hector asked. Because I need to go figure out what my life is going to look like, now that you're fucking it all up. To lay on you? Alibi said. Nope. You and Bob can go. Hector and Bob glanced at each other, then back at Alibi. Ah, Hector said. Sounds like more secrets. But not for us, eh? Not yet, Alibi said, unless you want more shit to deal with. Nah, I'm good for now, Hector said. Gotta prep for fronting our new concern here. Secrets are never good, Bob said, standing up. They never stay secret. Hector arose as well and edged past Bob towards the door. True enough, Alibi said. And this won't stay secret. You know, you can stay if you want to. Hector stepped toward the door, and Bob quickened his step to follow. Not yet, Hector said. I can wait. Plausible deniability suits me, Bob said. Secrets or not. See you later, then. The two made their way out of the conference room. Alibi glanced from Krish to Emily to Kit, the core he could trust implicitly. It's about the starseeds, Alibi said. Kit nodded. Emily frowned. Oh, jeesh, Emily said. This again? I thought it was something more serious. About the Hornet's Nest. Not some treasure finder has you going after. Krish, you gonna pile on? Alibi said. No, Alibi, Krish said. If I didn't take Starseed seriously, I wouldn't have been helping you track one down. You've been helping him? Emily asked. Great. Why is that such a problem? Krish responded. Because I'm beginning to think all of this, she gestured at the conference room surroundings, is just a ruse to put me in charge while he traipses off after some stupid trophy. Wow, Alibi said, an edge in his voice. Don't know if there's any room for the rest of us in here, with that ego of yours swelling up like that. Oh! Emily reddened. She was getting mad. I'm not the one whose ego always runs amok, who never thinks about the consequences, to anyone. Please, Emily, Krish implored. Alibi, come down. Kit remained silent and calm, glancing from Alibi to Emily as they each glared at the other. Krish shook his head. I'm trying to be more responsible here, Alibi said. So, yeah, if I go after the starseed, you will be in charge here. But undermining everything by calling it a ruse, really? What? Emily said. You'd prefer smoke and mirrors or something more elegant. That's it? Oh, stop it, Alibi said. You know we need a government here. You know I did a good thing. Give me a little credit, huh? Very little, she said, and only conditionally. We may be very close to actually finding a starseed, Krish said. But those in possession of it want to speak directly with Alibi. He must go. See, Alibi said.
It sounds like a trap, Kit observed.
Probably, Alibi said. Stupid, Emily said. Undoubtedly. Look, Alibi said, focused on Emily. This isn't about Finder, not anymore. No? Emily remained skeptical. No, Alibi said. And even he was beginning to suspect that the last time he came here after it. Suspect what? She asked. That I don't plan on giving him the starseed, Alibi said. Matter of fact, One of the reasons I now want to find it for myself is to keep it out of his hands. Or more precisely, out of the hands of whoever it is that has hired him to find one. One of the reasons, Emily said. Go on. They are surprisingly powerful, Alibi said. I knew that they were capable of altering the DNA of species over time to resemble the ancient enemy, which is potent in and of itself. Sounds like, Emily said, not giving Alibi an inch. Well, that's only its long-term function, Alibi said. Kit here tells me it also has short-run capabilities.
What do you mean? Krish said.
The starseeds also contained a second payload, a potentially form-altering serum, Alibi said, a mixture which can have an immediate effect on a living organism, shifting its physiology instantaneously toward the ancient enemies.
A race could be altered by this immediately, Kit said, interjecting.
Krish looked over at the Dakur, impressed.
Really? Krish said. A race?
Well, no, not exactly. Not as a race, but as individuals, Alibi said, shaking his head. Kit cocked his head at Alibi, confused, as Krish turned back to him.
Sorry, Kit. Have to be specific for Krish.
The changes don't ripple out across a species, Alibi said. Not immediately. Not from what I've learned. The short-run serum seems to have a focused individual effect. It permanently alters that individual's DNA. So, in that way, it could also be a long-term solution. It eventually introduces the ancient enemy's DNA into the population if the altered individuals breed. So, Emily said, what sort of changes are we talking about? Alibi took the good faith question as a sign she was coming around. A little. That would depend on the species, Alibi said. But it would probably make us, well, we humans anyway, sorry, Kit, more like them, the ancient enemy, stronger, with heightened telepathic abilities and mental powers, and less empathy, less soul. But I don't know what it would do to the Dakur. Quite a trade-off, Emily said. Whoever hired Finder could be willing to make that trade-off, Alibi said, or willing to decide that other people should. They could alter people and create a superhuman army. Who could? Emily asked. Whoever hired Finder, Alibi said. I began to discover details as I looked for one for him. Didn't like what I discovered. But I don't know who that is. No, she said. No, but it doesn't matter, Alibi said. Because I'm going to find it first. Bring it here. And then? Well, we may have to decide if it's worth it. What is? Emily asked. Worth it to alter ourselves, Alibi said. Change ourselves. To fight the battles ahead. Oh, Emily said. She didn't see that coming. Well, I guess I even shocked myself when I thought of it. We don't know what sort of combined Greater Ta and Solar Alliance force will come after us, eventually. But they will come after us, Alibi said. You know that. We all do. It's inevitable. So what do we do to counter that? We take some of the measures we took today, do some of the things we've done to make the station mobile, well, as much as it can be, and we have to think outside of the box. What if we can turn ourselves into more effective weapons against our enemies?
At what cost? Krish said. That is the question.
Yes, it is, Alibi said. And an entirely hypothetical one, unless we can get our hands on a starseed. So, then, this is important, Emily admitted. Okay, you know I don't like that guy Finder.
Not much to like, Alibi said.
I thought he was your friend, Emily asked. Friend? Not really, Alibi said. I did kind of like him when I first met him. He was like a mysterious hippie wizard dude. I didn't know how brutal he was.
Brutal?
Krish chimed in. He can be a dangerous guy, Alibi said. And he'll work for anyone. No standards at all. Doesn't care how bad they are. He worked for Azimut, for Pete's sake. He did? Emily asked. Yeah, Alibi said. Tricked me into finding something for him, it turned out.
And you were going to work with him again? Krish asked.
Already have, Alibi said. Found the wishing stone for him after that.
Why? Emily wanted to know.
Because he asked, Alibi said. I don't know. Figured it would be good to have him owe me one.
So, what happens if you don't find the star seed for him, if you keep it for yourself? She asked. What will he do?
I don't know, Alibi admitted. Well, not for sure. I know he'll lose his shit.
Chapter 28.
Fuck him!
Finder spat out the words.
Fuck Alibi Jones!
There you go. Let it out, Justin Spears said. You know, I've heard the Prime Representative say the very same thing.
And you're sure about this?
As I told you, my sources say he no longer plans to give you the starseed he's found, Spears said. He has another buyer. I thought you told me you could deliver one to me.
He said he hasn't found a starseed yet.
Well, there you go, Spears said. You see? Justin Spears looked around the messy apartment. How could anyone live like this, he wondered. Clothes, knickknacks, food boxes, and other things all spread out in a kind of even layer of crap over everything else in the room. Sofa, chairs, carpet, entertainment unit, as if it had fallen like snow. A snowfall of crap. A shitfall. Spears snickered softly at his own internal joke. He smirked, but Finder didn't notice. He was too busy fuming. Spears had tracked the elusive Finder down to his place in Mar del Plata, after word reached the Prime Representative's office that a very dangerous individual might have an axe to grind with Jones, and also that said very dangerous individual, if pushed the right way, could be a useful asset. Now, Spears didn't want word to get out that said very dangerous individual had also been working for one Justin Spears in search of a starseed. Nor that said supposedly very dangerous individual had hired the hated Alibi Jones to find that starseed on Spears' behalf. As far as he knew, Jones hadn't found anything yet anyway. So Spears had pretended with Constantine that he didn't know anything about any starseeds bullshit or whatever Jones was up to, and Constantine had told him to track down this Finder individual and set him on Jones. Which he did. Well, was doing. With pleasure. Maybe even glee.
I'm going to kill him, Finder said. I'm going to fucking strangle that little shit with my beer hands.
And there it was.
Thought you might feel that way, Spears said. He fished out a thin wand from his pocket and handed it to Finder. This burner wand will let you tap into untraceable resources. It will let you communicate without getting tracked, too. You see, Mr. Finder, we now share two goals.
We do?
Yes, Spears said. Well, we've both wanted that starseed. And now, we both want to see Alibi Jones dead.
Chapter 29. Is he here? Alibi asked, as he met up with Krish. They were supposed to meet their contact, the pilot, Gula, in a few minutes.
He is, Krish said. I'm surprised he came back, Alibi said. Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Good question, Krish said. I think it is a good one.
Alibi and Krish made their way through the crowd in the Hornet's Nest port. Alibi nodded to Bob Bond and Gardner Davison as they passed.
the two looking up from a planning table in a cordoned-off construction area, off to the left of the main concourse.
More expansion? Krish asked.
Yep, Alibi said. And the secure bays for our own ships. Alibi glanced around them, peering into the crowd as they walked.
Where is he?
Bay 33, Krish said. Down near where we were before.
It had taken a few weeks for Krish to line up his contact again, but evidently the interest was still out there. The heretic still had access to a starseed and was still willing to talk to Alibi about it. And still, only Alibi Jones.
Hello, Gula said.
It looked like the pale man was wearing the same brown one-piece flight suit he'd worn the last time Alibi saw him.
Are you ready now?
Ready to see the heretic, Alibi said. Gula frowned.
Let's not speak the name, Gula said.
He turned to lead Alibi towards his ship's airlock.
Bad luck.
Inside the ship, Gula motioned to Alibi's shoes.
Take them off, Gula said. I got nice carpeting. I don't let anyone track shit all over it.
Okay, Alibi said. He looked around. There was indeed plush beige carpeting laid down on the deck, in both corridor directions. A unique look. The walls were covered in an old fakewood coating, made to look like rough wooden cabin walls. Alibi took off his shoes and felt the carpet smush under his toes. Never seen this kind of interior decoration on a starship before.
Got it cheap. Used, Gula said. Strange as shit, but the price was right. Follow me. Cabins are up here.
Gula led him up the corridor towards the bow. Alibi carried his shoes along as he followed.
In here, Gula said, indicating a door on the right. Don't put your shoes back on.
Gotcha. Alibi walked in and looked around. The room continued the fake wooden carpet theme, with a wooden chair and a small table, and a bunk that looked like an old bed. There was a fake window as well. Alibi went over to see what his image choices were. It was broken.
So much for the view.
It's about a 10-hour trip, Gula said from the doorway. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Alibi said, as the door closed. Alibi went to the bed and tested it. Seemed comfortable enough.
Might as well try to get a little rest.
He laid down and shut his eyes.
Hey!
Someone shouting?
Alibi woke up hard, with Gula standing in the doorway to the room.
We're almost there, Gula said. Wanted to let you know.
Thanks.
About 10 minutes.
Seemed like no time at all.
Gula closed the door. Alibi arose and headed to the refresher to clean up a little before they arrived. As he splashed some water on his face, he felt the ship bump against something.
Probably a mooring collar. That means a station, more than likely. No landing, anyway.
He picked up his shoes and made for the door. Alibi found Gula waiting for him in the corridor as he left the room.
Good, you're ready, Gula said. Was coming back to get you.
He gestured for Alibi to follow him back to the airlock.
Come on.
The pasty-faced man opened the airlock and nodded at Alibi.
Put your shoes back on, he said.
Alibi put them on and straightened up.
Go ahead,
Gula said, stepping over next to the airlock. Alibi leaned ahead and looked into the airlock before stepping in.
Head on through, Gula said. No telling how long you'll be, so I'll just stay here.
Thanks, Alibi said. Alibi stepped out of the airlock. He looked around as Gula's ship's hatch closed behind him. Unfamiliar surroundings. Strange angles. Alibi Jones was on board a space station of the Greater Ta.
Hoo boy.
He did recognize the trash can with legs that trundled his way. A Tech Ta, usually the grunt soldiers of the Greater Ta, not known for their intellects. It spoke through an old translator.
Follow me, Alibi Jones, the old speaker over-enunciated.
Sure, Alibi said, nodding. The Tekta turned and led Alibi away from the airlock and into the station. Alibi followed the tentacled trash can through a strangely angled maze until a giant door slid open on an opulent chamber. It felt like a throne room. Alibi Jones found himself face to face with a Sekta. This one was not armored, as most he'd seen. This creature had a robe draped over its thorax and four upper limbs that draped down over the small side limbs and the two it stood and walked on. Out of their armor, they look even more like crawfish, only sort of stretched out, stiff and, well, alien. The Sekta had a translator on a band that wrapped around its upper body, just below its slightly triangular head. Alibi Jones, the translator speaker said in a smooth voice. I am called the Heretic. Hello, Alibi said. Thank you for agreeing to meet. Yes. Can we discuss the starseed? Soon, the alien said. First, a question for you, Alibi Jones. Do you know why they call me the Heretic? I believe it's because you're not a fan of the Order of the Greater Ta, Alibi answered, trying to maintain a respectful tone in his voice. He didn't know how sensitive the translator was, but it certainly carried a great deal of nuance in its spoken voice. In a way, the Heretic's smooth, nuanced translator voice said, but it is also because I favor chaos. Alibi saw two Tekta close in, one on each side, upper tentacles holding stun guns. Take him, the Heretic said. Whoosh! Alibi blacked out as the stun gun's beams hit. That was Chapter 29 of The Starseeds of Earth, on Glow in the Dark Radio. That did not end well for Alibi Jones. Hopefully he'll be back next week to find out what happens when he wakes up from that. Or, of course, you can pick up the book now. It's out. The book is on sale. The Starseeds of Earth is now available. Again, for more details, just go to glowinthedarkradio.com. I'm part of Virtual Balticon this weekend. Go to balticon.org and click on programming up at the top to get in on the schedules. It's all free. You just got to register ahead of time to get in on the panels, to watch the panels. And I'm on four different panels. Saturday, 4 p.m., Why the Storyteller Needs a Narrator. Saturday, 10 p.m., Cold Reads. Sunday, 10 a.m., Beta Reading. And Sunday, noon, Social Media. But the big news, of course, is that the book is out. So, hope you'll pick up a copy, check it out, and let me know what you think. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.